Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15, the passage that Damon read for us at the beginning. I think most of us could safely say that the most valuable assets that we possess on this earth are our friends. I have a friend that I have known from my childhood. We've got pictures of the two of us as babies. My parents, his parents, were best friends. We went to church together. Even though they moved away when I was young, I would go out in the summer and stay at his house, and he'd come to my house and stay. And we ended up being roommates in college, and we have just stayed in touch and stayed close through the years. And I don't know what I would do without a close friend like him. He had two girls. We had three. I went to the funeral of one of his daughters. He's been here to celebrate the wedding of my girls. He's the kind of guy that if I was in trouble, I could pick up the phone, and I know he would get on a plane or get in his car, and if I needed him, he'd be here, and I'd do that for him too. Close friends. There is nothing like friendship. To a great degree, the success of your life can be measured by the friends that you possess. We've all had good friends, and I call a good friend anyone that will pull us in the right direction. But I think because we're human, we've all had bad friends too, haven't we? I've had some bad friends that have pulled me in the wrong direction. And it's amazing how we can either get into trouble or stay out of trouble depending upon the friendships that we acquire and nurture in life. I just wonder how many young people got involved in drugs because of poor friendships. How many got involved in premarital sex because of poor friendships? How many stopped going to church because of poor friendships? How many party every weekend because of poor friendships? In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the wise man wrote, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And we're all familiar with the passage, "Evil companions corrupt good morals." And so as we began this series, we're going to be looking at a variety of friendships from the pages of Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament. And I want to tonight just talk about what true friendship really is. I'm grateful for friendships that I've had throughout my life. I'm grateful for deep friendships that exist within this church family. And I see many of you who have developed those kinds of deep friendships here. I think the best definition of a friend that I've ever seen is a friend is somebody who makes us a better person. Well, that's a true friend. That's the kind of friend that each one of us have in Jesus. In Proverbs 27:17, we read, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." And a tribute that I've seen to a friend that I think is a beautiful tribute says simply this, "I love you not for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you are making of me." You know, the test of true friendship is really that. Am I a better person when I'm around this individual or that individual? Or am I tempted to go in a wrong direction when I'm with this person? On the road to Emmaus, those men who didn't realize who they were walking with, not knowing that it was Jesus there at their side, as they walked along that road with him and as he shared with them the things from the Scriptures, they later on looked back and said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" I'm grateful for godly men in my life and women who inspire me And you can think of people like that. And in the presence of their company, you leave inspired to live for God more faithfully and to study your Bible more regularly. And I've got older preacher friends who have that impact on my life, and I'm so grateful for them. You know, a true friend is faithful. Faithful. The prodigal son thought he had a bunch of friends as long as he had his share of the inheritance. But when the money ran out, his friends ran out. In Proverbs 17:17, we read, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then that familiar passage in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who that friend is? It's Jesus. He is the best friend you will ever, ever have. In Hebrews, the promise is made by our Lord, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I don't care what you've done or how low you've fallen, Jesus is always there offering his hand of friendship. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You'll never find a friend that will treat you like that. And Jesus says to us, as I have loved you, so love one another. That's the kind of friend that we are to be. I mean, have you got friends like that? You're a fortunate person if you do. I tell you, a true friend is also someone who will tell you when you're wrong. Some of you have friends who have encouraged you to do wrong. I've had friends like that who have encouraged me in the wrong direction, and I have at times listened to them. There are those who will applaud you when you do wrong. Let me tell you, that's not a friend. I say this especially to you young people as you're choosing friends and sorting out relationships. Anyone who encourages you to do something that is wrong is not a friend. In the book of Revelation, the seven churches there that Jesus addressed, he talked to those that he was ready to discipline as a friend. In Proverbs 27:6, the wise man says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Real friends don't let friends get into trouble. And I encourage all of us, but especially you guys, be friends, be true friends to those that you're around. Jesus is the model friend. Let me tell you three things that Jesus gives us in his friendship. Number one, he gives us acceptance. And I tell you, I don't care how old you are, everyone wants to be accepted. Jesus accepts us even when we're not perfect. He was called the friend of sinners. And he doesn't change us in order to become our friend. He is our friend so that we will be changed. Let me tell you about Jesus and his love of people. We know that the Lord hates divorce, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves divorced people. The Lord hates alcoholism, but he loves alcoholics. I hope that we can be the kind of friends to others that he is to us. Not only is he that kind of friend, he acknowledges us. He pays attention to us. He listens to us. This is said of the Lord in Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Did you know that as a Christian, if you pray to God, that God pulls his chair around and he gives you his full attention? He is attentive to the things that you have to say. What you have to say is important to him. In the 116th Psalm, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist wrote, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. If you would be a true friend like Jesus is to you, you must learn to listen. Jesus does another thing. He appreciates us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he, as bad as I am, Jesus appreciates me, and he affirms me, and he affirms you in what we do. Again, in those letters to the seven churches, they all begin with affirmations about what is being done that's right. In Paul's letters, he begins with statements of appreciation and affirmation. Jesus made the statement here in this passage that Damon read for us. He said, "You didn't choose me. Remember where this friendship began. I chose you." And I tell you, I wasn't very good at sports. And I can still remember very well what it felt like when teams were being chosen up. And I kept standing there and wishing somebody would choose me to be on their team. That's not a good feeling. We all want to be chosen. And Jesus says, "I choose you. I want you on my team. I want you to be my friend." He's the one who initiated the friendship. He chose us. We didn't choose him. And then he says in verse 15, he says, "I want you to know this. Even though I am the Lord of the universe, even though I am the King of kings, I'm not going to treat you like a servant. I'm going to treat you like a friend." Do you tell your friends what you appreciate about them? One of the most powerful things I've ever seen done is in a classroom. I know on occasion we've done this, but I've been in classes where we've done this, and where we're taking prayer requests, and if somebody is discouraged or down a time or two, I've just said, "Let's all go around the room and let's just tell this person why we appreciate them." Well, you want to make someone's day? That'll make someone's day when you tell them what you appreciate about them, when they hear this from their friends. Friendship is an expensive commodity, though. It's not something easily had, and that's why most people don't have a large circle of friends. It's difficult to be a good friend. It's difficult to maintain strong friendships because it requires time and energy and effort in order to maintain this kind of friendship. Jesus says here in chapter 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Boy, an expensive, expensive commodity. Maintenance of friendship is costly in a variety of ways. And I know you probably have friends that you haven't talked to in years, that you haven't written or taken time to get with or bothered to touch base with. And, you know, a lot is bad with social media, but I am so grateful for Facebook. I'm grateful for all the old friends that I've touched base with that I haven't touched base with in years. And I feel like suddenly, because of technology, I'm going to be able to be a better friend and stay in closer touch with friends. And I know the younger generation is a whiz at this and are able to do a great job in this area. But let me tell you, you have no more valuable asset on the face of the earth than a true friend, one who pulls you in the right direction. Let me just close by zeroing in on the one best friend that we all have. His name is Jesus, and he is the best friend that anyone could ever hope for or ask for. And Jesus says this to us, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And his command is to love. Jesus is a friend like no other. He is personal in his friendship with each one of us. He describes himself in the book of Revelation. John describes him as one who stands at the door and knocks, and he longs to come inside. But let me tell you, there's a doorknob, and you've got to open that door, and you've got to invite him in. And he says, "If you'll just open that door and invite me, and I'll come in, and I want to sit down with you, and I want to dine with you, and I want to fellowship with you." He doesn't love us as a group. He loves each one of us individually. You know, the sun that is so far away from our planet Earth, that massive ball of gases and fire that holds all the planets in their orbit, that same massive sun that does that incredible job of holding this solar system together, it's the same sun that makes your grass grow in your backyard as if it had nothing else to do. And the Son of God, who holds this entire universe together, never mind just our solar system, He is also the God who knows how many hairs every one of us have on our head. We sing that beautiful song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I'm grateful for that. Many of you know the joy of the communion you share on a daily basis with Jesus Christ. And you long each morning to get up in the mornings and talk to your friend and hear His words to you from His Word. And you develop and nurture and nourish that friendship as all true friendships require. But I know for some, you've not allowed Him to be that close friend that He longs to be. And He may even be standing outside the door still knocking, waiting for you to open the door and invite Him in. But I cannot imagine why anyone would not want Jesus Christ for their best friend. And so tonight we're going to sing a song. And if you have been resistant to His friendship, I pray that this week you will open your heart up to Him and you will begin developing your end of the friendship. He's already chosen you. Or if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I pray that you will allow Him to be the Lord of your life. He'll be the best friend that you've ever had. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.